With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I am not privy to talk about that. I think the conversations are still going on, and that's Ambassador Greer, who's finalizing what exactly that looks like. And I think the president's involved in that as well.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins speaking to reporters outside of the White House on where this beef will be coming from. Well, a temporary surge in beef imports could weaken cattle prices just as ranchers are beginning to rebuild the nation's historically small beef herd. Proposed 90-day window overlaps with the fall period when many cow-calf producers market spring-born calves. American Farm Bureau Federation economist John Newton says 70% of spring-born calves are marketed between September and November. He argues additional imports could provide short-term retail relief, but reduce the returns needed to encourage heifer retention and long-term domestic beef production. U.S. biodiesel and renewable diesel plants may need to operate near maximum capacity if they want to meet higher federal blending requirements, potentially strengthening demand for soybean oil and other ag feedstocks. Cobank lead economist Jackie Fatka says the industry already running at high utilization rates. She estimates that plants are operating in roughly the 80 to upper 80% range, but utilization may need to exceed 90% to satisfy the current renewable volume obligations. Higher mandates have created strong demand for ag feedstocks, in particular bean oil. Imported fuels and feedstocks can also help meet federal requirements, adding another variable to domestic demand. Well, beef prices are separating sharply from the rest of the grocery basket. USDA's Economic Research Service forecasting beef and veal prices will rise 9.8% this year compared with a 2.5% increase for food purchased at grocery stores. Now, July beef and veal prices already 9.4% above a year earlier. By comparison, pork prices up 0.5%. Poultry and dairy prices slightly lower than last July. Well, New World screwworm restrictions changing how Mexican cattle move through the North American market. It's pushing more animals into domestic feedlots and slaughter rather than across the U.S. border as lightweight feeders. USDA's Mexico Post estimates that cattle exports will fall 80% this year to just 45,000 head. And even with the Douglas, Arizona crossing reopened, inspection, holding, and treatment requirements expected to limit throughput and raise export cost. So that shift is boosting Mexico's domestic beef sector. Beef production estimated to be up 11% in Mexico this year as retained cattle move through local feedlots and reach slaughter there at heavier weights. Mexico also expected to export more beef instead of live cattle. Beef exports projected up 23% this year, supported partly by tight U.S. cattle supplies and strong demand for imported beef. And Texas A&M AgriLife researchers studying whether prickly pear cactus could become a commercial crop for food ingredients and renewable fuels. It's offering a possible option for drought-prone regions where traditional crops face increasing water stress. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Good morning. I'm Chris Bone, President and CEO of CF Industries. And on behalf of our joint venture partners, JERA and Mitsui, I'd like to welcome you to the groundbreaking of Blue Point One.
Bone speaking in Louisiana on Wednesday on bringing fertilizer production back to the U.S.
Your presence underscores how much this moment matters to Ascension Parish, the state of Louisiana, as well as to the nation and our allies around the world. Today, we stand on the ground of the next generation of nitrogen manufacturing. Blue Point One is a $3.7 billion investment in the United States, backed by over $2 billion of foreign direct investment from our Japanese partners. That commitment is a powerful vote for the confidence of the American workforce, American infrastructure, and America's leadership in energy. Abundant, low-cost natural gas, the key feedstock of ammonia, helped bring us here. But what we're building goes far beyond a conventional ammonia plant. Blue Point One will be the world's largest ammonia plant once completed. It will be among the world's first ammonia plants built with autothermal reforming technology. That technology, paired with permanent carbon capture and sequestration, will enable this plant to operate with one of the lowest environmental footprints in our entire industry. Good for our communities, our customer requirements, and the future of American nitrogen manufacturing. To make this project possible, we have leveraged world-class partnerships. This includes our joint venture partners. It also includes industry leaders like Linde and 1PointFive. Every part of this project is engineered to achieve best-in-class safety, reliability, and environmental performance. At its core, this facility is built to serve people. It'll grow access to reliable domestic nitrogen supply for American farmers to feed the world. It'll expand our nation's export capacity, shipping American-made energy to global markets. And right here on the West Bank of Ascension Parish, it'll bring long-term, high-paying manufacturing and engineering careers, as well as thousands of construction jobs over the next 4 years. Crucially, this site is designed for future growth. Blue Point is built with the shared infrastructure to support multiple future world-scale nitrogen plants. We believe that what we break ground on today is just the beginning. And milestones like this do not happen in a vacuum. I want to express my deep gratitude to our teams at CF Industries, JERA, Mitsui, and local, state, and federal leadership. In particular, thank you, Secretary Rounds and the administration, by delivering a transparent, efficient, and predictable permitting process without compromising rigor. You enabled us to break ground today. You also strengthened our confidence in pursuing additional growth opportunities, not just here at Blue Point, but across our American nitrogen network. When you bring together American energy resources, world-class engineering and partnerships, and trusted global allies, you create something transformative. So we aren't just churning dirt today. We are laying the foundation for an incredible resource that will support the American heartland and help power the global economy. We're excited to get to work.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Over the past month, corn basis to September futures fell by as much as 27 cents per bushel across the eastern Corn Belt, with gains limited to just 5 cents. Soybean basis movement was more variable. Losses reached as much as 20 cents per bushel, while gains climbed as high as 24 cents.
Josh Strine with the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue.
The broad corn weakening ended a trend of gains that had persisted through the summer. With the 2025-2026 marketing year drawing to a close, Iowa, which had trailed the rest of the region for most of the year, saw some positive movement in August, gaining ground in both corn and soybeans. Corn basis weakened in 30 of 41 crop reporting districts between the third week of July and the third week of August. While the region-wide weakening broke the trend of gains that had built through summer, it aligned with historical season patterns. Basis weakened the most in southeast Indiana, where it fell by 27 cents per bushel to reach negative 32 cents. That is the weakest basis in the district for this time of year since the 2009-2010 crop year. Sharp declines extended across the southern parts of Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio, consistent with the 20 cent per bushel decrease in basis along the Ohio River. Ohio's picture was more mixed. Central Ohio weakened just 3 cents to positive 17 cents, sitting 17 cents above its 3-year historical average. However, East Central Ohio fell by 22 cents over the past month to negative 16 cents, now 30 cents below its historical average. Iowa corn basis remained the weakest market in the 5-state area. Northeast Iowa ended the period at negative 40 cents per bushel, 51 cents below its 3-year historical average. Iowa ethanol plant basis averaged negative 18 cents, 50 cents below its historical average. However, Iowa's movement was among the most stable. 6 of Iowa's 9 districts had modest gains over the month. As other markets fell and Iowa held steady, the gap between Iowa and the rest of the region narrowed heading into September. Turning to soybeans, basis in 17 crop reporting districts strengthened in 23 weekend. The largest move came out of Iowa. West Central and Southwest Iowa each gained 24 cents per bushel, ending the period with cash prices above futures. Several Western Iowa districts recorded their highest basis level for this time of year in over a decade. The Iowa soybean processor market amplified this trend. Basis increased by 41 cents per bushel to positive 43 cents per bushel. Outside of Iowa, gains were modest and scattered. Indiana and Ohio posted the strongest movements, with West Central Indiana gaining 8 cents and West Central Ohio gaining 10 cents. Michigan was the only state where every district declined, with losses ranging from 3 to 18 cents per bushel. The steepest decline came in South Central Ohio, down 20 cents, and Southwest Indiana, down 18 cents. The soybean basis map looks meaningfully different from July. The most dramatic shift was in the western Iowa, which moved into positive territory for the first time this crop year. Heading into September, the highest basis is concentrated in central Indiana. West central Indiana leads the region at positive 17 cents. The weakest market remains in Michigan and northwestern Iowa, with east central Michigan the region's low at negative 46 cents. Most of the southern districts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio have weakened since the July highs. This update marks the close of the 2025-2026 marketing year. In September, attention shifts to the new crop year. As this year demonstrated, early signals matter. Iowa corn basis was below the regional average from the start and remained so until August. Early September will tell us whether spatial patterns carry into the new year for both corn and soybeans. The historical signal for corn to close out August is neutral, with most districts near flat. For soybeans, 37 of the 38 districts have historically weakened into the final week of August.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The president has activated not just me on this issue, but our entire cabinet. And this is a top priority to make fertilizer more affordable and more available for our nation's farmers, both today with some short-term steps we're taking, but most importantly for the long-term, which is what today's groundbreaking represents.
At a press conference in Louisiana, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
As I was driving in this morning, I had a conversation with our EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, a conversation with our Secretary of Energy Chris Wright, who himself will say that the greatest energy that we need is what we feed and fuel this country. And so even the Department of Energy has put fertilizer at the top of their list. When we talk about the extraordinary speed of permitting that was undertaken in just the last year to get to this point today, what would have normally been maybe a couple of years, we're going to talk about how we moved that permitting, and Chris, you did as well, at lightning speed. I would love to take credit for that, but all I did was call my friends over at the Department of War, specifically Pete Hegseth. He then passed this on to General Graham at the Army Corps of Engineers, who then passed it on to the incredible Adam Tell, who, of everyone that deserves credit for getting to today at such fast speed, it is that man. You'll get to hear from him in a little bit, but if you'll help me give him a round of applause as well. The single most important thing that we can do to reduce America's reliance on foreign countries for the fertilizer that our farmers need, amongst other inputs, is what we're representing and what's happening today. America imports currently roughly 50% of the 20 million tons of fertilizer that we use each year. This is a daily threat to the security of our supply chain and therefore to the very freedom that we celebrate today at our 250th birthday. And that's why today's groundbreaking of the $3.7 billion Blue Point Project ammonia plant marks such a giant leap forward. Once operational, this plant will be the world's largest by nameplate capacity. As I mentioned, my good friend, Assistant Secretary for the Army for Civil Works, Adam Tell, worked around the clock with his team for the past several months to move this project through federal permitting review in roughly 45 days. Again, after being told this would take years. And now we are ready as of today to move to the next stage. Construction alone is projected to create thousands of jobs. The number I have here is 3,900 jobs here over the next 4 years. And the plant will eventually provide more than 100 full-time manufacturing and related jobs to this area. Blue Point will produce 1.4 million metric tons of low carbon ammonia. To give you an idea of how significant this really is, the fertilizer coming from this plant alone is expected to support 6.7 million acres of corn production in the United States. 6.7 million acres. That is 1.2 billion bushels of corn. This is a remarkable, facility that is being built here. This, of course, will provide, as I mentioned, much needed stability to the American supply chain and American farm production. The Trump administration's streamlined permitting process that is making today possible, combined with an incredible partnership with this amazing company, and working across the entire cabinet to get to today, but also what comes after today, will go down as a textbook example, as a model, as we work to reshore what is needed for our great American farmers and ranchers.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
Well, a couple of things on the president's announcement Friday morning on a temporary 90-day importation of 300,000 metric tons of ground beef. I want to make sure that's very clear.
Speaking to reporters just outside the White House, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
The way that we consume beef in America, we consume about 13 million metric tons every year. About 11 million metric tons, give or take, we raise here, we produce here. We do have the best beef in the world. Our genetics are incredible in this country. 2 to 3 million metric tons a year we do import. Almost, and that's year over year. That's nothing unusual. Of that 2 to 3 million metric tons that we import, that's mostly lean or ground beef. So that's why when the president announced, I think it even said in his Truth on Friday morning, it's specific to ground beef. He is working to fill a gap, a pretty big gap in the supply chain from ground beef. Of course, you've all heard we have the lowest cattle herd number on record. That really came down under the last administration. That wasn't a big, you know, cattle administration. We've now begun to change that. Our numbers 2 weeks ago show for the first time in 10 years, we have heifer retention going up. So the good news is long term, we're stabilizing. But for the short term, the president felt very convicted that as American consumers are paying more for beef, not our fault, our administration's fault, but as they are, that short temporary fix was important. One other point, though, that I think will help tell the story a little bit better. 15 months ago, we closed the ports along the southern border and stopped all importation of Mexican live cattle. The reason we did that, of course, is because of the New World screwworm, which we thought was eradicated in the 50s, came back in 2021, 2022, made its way up toward the United States and towards our border states, cattle states. And so we closed those ports 14 months ago, just opened yesterday the first port in Douglas, Arizona. So we're now starting the movement of live cattle again. But in that 14 or 15 months, that equals about 1.4 million head of cattle that would have come into our country that did not. And those are all lean cattle. That's all ground beef cattle, basically. So when you look at the 300,000 metric tons the president announced, that equals between 500,000 and 700,000 head of cattle. So that still doesn't even get us back to where we would have been if we hadn't had to close the port for the screwworm. But I think the final thing to say is this, that I don't believe there has ever been a president more focused on agriculture or rural America or our ranchers and our farmers than this president. That the long-term fight to open up more grazing land, to ensure that our ranchers have what they need to build their herd, to make sure that we've got a stable market. Yesterday, we announced Harvest to Hallways, Bobby Kennedy and I did, which is a complete, is that your question? I'll go to you next, which is a complete recalibration of our school lunches, putting real food back at the center of school lunches. Protein, the new dietary guidelines, is obviously at the very top of that for the first time. And so what that means for our cattle ranchers, for our agriculture producers in America, yesterday the announcement on procuring more locally produced nutrient-dense food instead of opening up school lunches out of a plastic bag and sticking them into a microwave, which is what a lot of our schools are doing now, we are going to change that. It may cost a little bit more money, but we are in this for the long run. We are in this to support our ranchers and our farmers, and we will make sure that we are doing everything necessary to rebuild the herd, to bring the cost of inputs down, to open up the world markets while opening up the domestic markets.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I want to thank the entire CF team. From the moment I think we called you on a Monday, on a Wednesday afternoon, you were sitting in my office in Washington and talking about your commitment to the American farmer.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins at a groundbreaking in Louisiana for the Blue Point One project, a $3.7 billion joint venture to produce low-carbon ammonia and fertilizer.
It was a bit of an uncertain time last spring, and I remember you all led the way by saying that you were going to, as a company, defer scheduled maintenance so that you could ensure that you could keep prices as low as possible for our great American farmers. And I will never, never forget that. So thank you. I just want to thank Chris and the entire team. What an honor to be here today. And as together we take the latest and perhaps the greatest, at least, step so far, putting farmers first in this country and moving back toward American fertilizer independence. Since day one, this administration has been working at lightning speed to help farmers manage input prices, the cost of which has certainly shot up, and that we have to work every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year since we stepped foot 18 months ago back into the White House and into the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Rollins highlighting the acceleration of federal permits alongside Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden.
If you're involved in agriculture, if you grow corn and soybeans, fertilizer is not a new topic to you. You have known for the past 5+ years that prices have been elevated, supplies have been questionable, and you have heard previous administrations promise you that help is on the way. And yet no spades were turned, no meaningful amounts of fertilizer were produced. That ends today. There's been a lot of talking. We're now at the action phase, and it's because of this administration, this Secretary of Agriculture, and this cabinet that things are actually being done government-wide. And that's represented here today by the multi-billion-dollar investment of CF Industries, bringing the world's largest ammonia manufacturing plant to life here in the United States. This will not only help American farmers. We have the Department of War here today because this is also a matter of national security. A nation that cannot effectively feed itself and depends on foreign sources for key inputs in order to feed itself is not a nation that is secure. The Trump administration understands that. We have put the resources behind American companies like CF to solve this longstanding problem. And thanks to their partnership and the partnership of our federal partners at the Department of War, the Permitting Council, the Department of Energy, and the Environmental Protection Agency, just to name a few, there is finally action being taken. My message today is simple. Farmers have been rightly skeptical as multiple politicians have come up and promised them to do something about fertilizer. That skepticism's time has ended because action is now being taken. Fertilizer is going to be produced in this country, and thanks to the investment being announced here today, for literally decades to come, America will be more food secure. Farmers will know that they no longer have to look overseas for the supplies they need, and our nation will be better for it.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.